Johnson got no such help. Johnson's close past relationship with Baker was also becoming a focus of Senate investigators in the early autumn of 1963. Delaware Senator John Williams' Senate Rules Committee may have backed off the JFK story, but it continued to dig deeper into allegations of Johnson's corruption, especially his alleged influence peddling in the awarding of a lucrative jet fighter contract. As weeks passed, there began to be whispers in Washington that a scandal-tainted LBJ would be dumped from the Democratic ticket in 1964. Were he to no longer be the Vice President of the United States, it is likely Johnson's legal troubles would have quickly mounted. Not only was he potentially looking at the end of his political career, there was a possibility he could face prosecution and prison. On November 22nd, at the same time Kennedy was being gunned down in Dallas, a man named Don B. Williams was giving testimony in a closed session of the Senate Rules Committee in Washington. Reynolds, who was close to Baker, detailed for the Senate investigators Johnson's demands for payoffs and kickbacks in return for government business. His testimony was interrupted by the news that Kennedy had been shot. With Johnson now President of the United States, the Rules Committee quietly let the matter die. Could Johnson have orchestrated JFK's assassination to prevent his political ruin? There are some who think so, and the timing does in fact appear suspicious. But timing may also present problems for that particular theory. For one thing, if there were a plot against Kennedy, it appears to have been set in motion months earlier. While Kennedy's death may have been politically convenient for Johnson at the moment it occurred, it's hard to see how that set of circumstances could have been foreseen far in advance. In America, following Kennedy's assassination, there seemed to be very little speculation about LBJ's complicity in the murder of his predecessor. The notion seemed unthinkable. But in later years, especially after Johnson's death in 1973, the idea gained some traction among some researchers who noted that Johnson, perhaps more than anyone, had means, motive, and opportunity. In 2003, Texas attorney Bart McClellan wrote Blood, Money, and Power, How LBJ Killed JFK. McClellan had worked at the Austin law firm of Clark, Thomas, Harris, Dennis, and Winters, which was very close to Johnson and the Texas Democratic Party. That position, he said, gave him insight into how the plot to make Johnson president was put together. McClellan claims senior law partner Edward Clark orchestrated Kennedy's assassination on Johnson's behalf, using money provided by Texas millionaires Clint Murchison and H.L. Hunt. The objective was to make Lyndon Johnson president of the United States. As part of its series, The Men Who Killed Kennedy, the History Channel aired a documentary in November 2003 featuring McClellan's allegations that Johnson was behind Kennedy's murder. The network was on the receiving end of strong pushback. Former Presidents Ford and Carter were among those who were highly critical of the program. Several months later, the Disney-owned network issued a statement of apology and said the charges made in the program appeared to be entirely unfounded. The segment has not aired on American television since, though it's readily available on YouTube. McClellan's book not only claimed Johnson was behind Kennedy's murder, but also others who got in the way. A key figure in these murders, according to McClellan, was a young Texas associate of Johnson's named Malcolm Wallace. Malcolm Wallace seems an unlikely hitman. After serving in the Marines, he received his bachelor's degree from the University of Texas, where he was elected president of the student union. He did graduate work at Columbia University and taught at Long Island University. Through Edward Clark, Wallace met Lyndon Johnson in 1950. In 1951, Wallace walked into a golf pro shop and gunned down a man named Douglas Kinzer, who was having an affair with LBJ's sister, Josepha Johnson. As Wallace fled the scene, a witness wrote down his license number, allowing police to make a speedy arrest. At trial, Wallace was represented by a Johnson attorney and was found guilty of first-degree murder. 11 of the jurors recommended the death penalty, with a 12th urging life in prison. The judge, however, sentenced Wallace to 5 years in prison, then suspended the sentence. Wallace was, in essence, a free man. Billy Saul Estes was a Texas Wheeler dealer who, in the 1950s, claims to have had a number of shady dealings with Lyndon Johnson. In 1960, his illegal scheme to buy cotton allotments came to the attention of an Agriculture Department official in Texas named Henry Marshall. As Marshall investigated, Estes sent his lawyer to talk to the government agent. Marshall bluntly told the attorney that Estes's allotments were illegal and would be disallowed. If Estes tried something like that again, Marshall reportedly said, the matter would be referred to the U.S. attorney. Estes has said that LBJ, who by then had become vice president, responded by having Marshall offered a better job in Washington. Marshall declined, sensing a bribe. Estes says at a follow-up meeting that included Wallace and Johnson, LBJ said of Marshall, "Get rid of him." On June 3, 1961, Henry Marshall was found dead on his farm next to his pickup truck. His head had been smashed into the side of the vehicle, he had carbon monoxide in his system, and he had been shot in the chest 5 times with his bolt-action rifle lying nearby. Incredibly, his death was ruled a suicide. If LBJ could conspire to kill a troublesome bureaucrat, would he kill the president? Estes says not only he would, he did. Another person pointing a finger at LBJ was Madeline Duncan Brown, a Texas woman who claimed to have had a 21-year affair with Johnson and given birth to his son. In an interview with assassination researcher Robert Galen Ross, Brown said she talked with Johnson at a late-night party in Dallas the night before the assassination, when Johnson is alleged to have told her, "After tomorrow, those SOBs will never embarrass me again." There are details in her story that appear questionable, and of course, there were no other witnesses to her conversation with Johnson. But she, McClellan, and Estes are not the only ones who have linked Johnson to Kennedy's murder. So has E. Howard Hunt, former CIA agent and Watergate burglar.